Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming back and joining me once again. All my people all across the country who regularly listen to the Ron Kelly Show, thanks for your emails and all that you do for the show. The phone number here is 646-668-2838, 646-668-2838. You know, we're going to be talking politics today on the Ron Kelly Show, and part of that is what happened last night. We'll get to the circus that is the 2016 presidential election campaign. We'll get to that, and of course we're taking your call, 646-668-2838. Now you can tweet me, but on Twitter I was tweeting all night about this election and what I was observing. And that Giants-Packers game had a little bit of competition last night. And I'll tell you the truth, I personally was switching back and forth between the Packers game and the debate, because the debate, everybody, half the country, most of the country was watching the debate. But, I'm going to talk about politics. And just the theme shows everything you wanted to know about politics, or everything you need to know about politics, but was afraid to ask. Because there's a lot of things, there's a lot of, a lot of us don't understand, myself included at times, don't really understand politics and, and what it entails. Because you hear people, you hear politicians or elected officials say, I'm not a politician. Now, come on. Now, realistically speaking, you can't be an elected official without being a politician. You can't, So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Trump. I mean, it's no big surprise to me anyway what Trump said about the grabbing the P word on a woman. We'll talk about that. And did anybody see at the end of the debate when Tiffany is the daughter of Trump and Marla Maples, who he cheated on Ivanka Trump, who helped him build his empire. And then when she got a little old, he dissed her. So, and this segment is only going to be on Facebook. This one segment is going to be on Facebook, and then we're going to switch over to live stream. So we're just going to do this one segment on Facebook, because there are folks on Facebook, in my Facebook circle, who live in Passaic County, and we're going to be talking about local politics as well. And then we're going to switch over to a national platform, so then we'll be moving on to live stream, where there's a broader audience and people who are more interested in politics. But anyway, so did anybody see Tiffany Trump, who's the daughter of Donald Trump and Marla Maples? Did anybody see her rear head back like this? He went to kiss her on the cheek after the debate. I thought that was like real, real strange. She wouldn't even want to give daddy a kiss on the cheek. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Hillary Clinton talking about, and people are coming out and they're getting on Hillary Clinton about saying that politicians should have a private position and a public position. Most politicians have a private position and a public position. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But now it's election time. We all know it's election time. It's election time locally too. And let me ask you guys this: who vote? Who say get out the vote? Get out the vote. Do this. Do that. How many of you have actually went back, right, since the person that you voted for the last time, be it a council person, assembly, state senator, whoever, how many times have you gone back before you voted for them again and looked at the promises they made and if they actually kept those promises. How many of us do that? You know, I don't really, I've not necessarily done that. And it's something that I was thinking about. Now, how many times have I gone back? Because, you know, because when you hear people, politicians, which is what they are, politicians, you know, and shout out to Assemblywoman Savannah something, who I love to death, very intelligent lady, but they're all, for the most part, politicians. I'll get to, you know, we'll get into this. Now, how many times have any of you gone back, right? Let's say you voted for a council person 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I'm not sure what the cycle is, council at large, mayor, whatever the case may be. How many of us have actually gone back and looked and saw what this person promised and had they delivered on it? How many of us have actually done that? You know, because I know I haven't. And it dawned on me today, I was thinking, why? How many of us have gone back and looked? Because, you know, every election cycle, be it a board of education person, council, mayor, whoever, they all make promises. And I'm not a politician today. I know a lot of elected officials, many of them have been on my show, just about everybody in Passaic County, from Congressman Pascrell on down, has been on the Ron Kelly Show. But how many of us have gone back? Like, okay, let's go back to, let's say you voted for a council person in 2014. This cycle is 2 years, 4 years, whatever. How many of us actually gone back and said, okay, what promises did council person so-and-so make 2, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever the cycle is, what promises did they make and what promises did they keep? See, because it's not necessarily about party lines, and I'm going to get into party lines too, but in local politics, it's not the shows in local politics, it's not what political party you're from. It's nonpartisan, in other words. That's the term they use, nonpartisan, which means on a local level, it's not Democratic or Republican. It's just straight up voting. Now, how many of us have gone back? For the person we voted for the last time is coming around and wanting to be voted in again. How many times have we gone back and looked and said, okay, did they get the most, did they do right by the schools? Are the streets cleaner like they promised? Or is the budget balanced like they promised? Did they lower taxes? Are the parks better? You know, is there more development? I mean, what did these people bring to the table? See, a lot of us don't even do that. We don't go back and look and see who did what. We don't do that. We don't go back and look. We just vote for the person again. Vote for him again. Vote for him again. Vote for again. A lot of us, and we don't hold the person accountable, because more often than not, especially when it gets down to the local level, we're voting for the people that we like. You know, just because I like you, I mean, you have to be performing. You have to be doing something in order for me to vote for you. I'm way past that vote for people because I like them, because I'm, you know, a person who is involved in politics intimately, because it's a large part of my radio program. You know, so how many of you out there can actually say that whoever you voted for in 2012 or whatever, how many of you have gone back and looked and said and fact checked that person to see how many promises they keep? And more often than not, when you go back and check, you're going to see they didn't keep none of them. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular. Don't get me wrong. I'm just bringing something up to the folks who don't really, and I'm not saying you don't understand politics. I'm not critiquing anybody's knowledge of anything. But how many of us have gone back and looked and saw what these people did? See, because every election cycle, be it a council person, a board of education, that's coming up now soon too, whatever the case may be, everybody makes promises. Everybody makes promises. And a lot of the promises that people make, they can't make on their own. They can't make these promises on their own. They need somebody else's help. President Obama. I mean, you would think the president of the United States would be able to do whatever he wanted. They sent a bill. They sent a bill to President Obama, for example, that would allow victims of 9/11 to it would allow 9/11 victims to sue Saudi Arabia only because the terrorists are alleged to have come from Saudi Arabia. So it wasn't a good bill. You can't indict a whole country because a couple of people from that country came over here and did what they did. President Obama vetoed it. Even the president, lo and behold, he vetoed it. The Congress and Congress overrode his veto. So even what the president wanted to do got kicked to the curb. And see, and everybody's talking about Obama didn't do this, Obama didn't do that. You know, and the president, and we're going to start up, the president, not to make this grandiose, but the president couldn't keep his own promises. The president ran on a promise of doing this and that and the other and the third, and he wasn't able to do it because guess what? The Republicans had made a decision that they weren't going to allow the president to do what he did. So getting back to what I was saying, when people run for elected office, whoever it is, they have to run. They run on a platform, and they make promises. And a lot of these promises are not kept. You see, because we fall for the okie doke. And I'm not saying that politicians are snakes in the grass or that they don't, you know. But they have to, you know. We have to hold people accountable. About get out the vote, go vote, you got to vote. You know, when you vote, make sure you make the right decision. Don't vote for who Joe Schmo is voting for. Vote for who you think is the best person to do the job, whether you like the person or not. So when people run for office, they run on a platform and they make promises. They make promises. Oh, I'm going to do this. There's going to be better schools, more police. We're going to get the budget balance. We're going to bring development into the town, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And these cycles go on and on and on and on and on. And guess what? Nothing happens. In some cases, nothing happens. And everybody's running on these platforms. Everybody's making promises. And the promises don't get kept. You see, because you can't, as an elected, someone who's running for office, you can't promise anybody anything. You can't say that you as an individual is going to deliver anything. The fact of the matter is that you could say that these are the things that you're going to try to push for. You can say that, but you can't say that you're going to do A, B, C, or D, because guess what? Like for let's say the city of Patterson, for example, just for example now, whoever's elected official out there that think I'm talking about them, well, you just think I'm talking about you, but I'm not. Let's say, for example, you're a council person, be it ward council or at large, right? You're running for office. And you know, when people run for office, they have to make promises. They have to get something to draw you in and convince you to vote for them. So they have to tell you something. So what they say, oh, we'll give you this. You know, we'll work. We'll make sure the libraries stay open longer. We'll bring back recreation. We'll make sure more police officers are in your neighborhood. We'll lower the taxes. We'll bring in development. And on and on and on and on. And these are the things that people talk about delivering, right? But they can't do it by themselves. So me as an individual, let's say I'm running for office, I can't say that I, as an individual, am going to deliver all these goods and services to the people. Because guess what? If I'm a council person, like for example, Patterson, there's 9 council people, whatever the case may be, 6 ward, 3 at large. So I can't do anything by myself. There's 8 other people that have to vote along with me in order for me to give you anything that I promised you. Just like with the president. The president made a bunch of promises, and he wasn't able to keep those promises because he had a Republican Congress who didn't want him to do anything. So even the president, now if the president of the United States of America can't do what he wants to do, what will make anybody think that a Board of Education candidate or a council candidate can promise you anything? You see, because with politics, and I'm going to get into this in the break, let me flip to live stream. I thank everybody for tuning in. The phone number is 646-668-2838, 646-668-2838. You can check me out on Twitter. I'm on Twitter right now, and I don't have my Facebook page up. I will put it up in a second during the break. But nobody can promise you anything. And I notice people follow along and they, you know, I'm voting for this person, I'm voting for that person, who cannot deliver anything by themselves. You have to convince the other eight people. Well, for example, the majority rules. So if there's nine council people, you got to get the other four council people to vote along with you. See, that's why they say politics is strange bedfellows. That's where that term came from, because sometimes you got to make deals with the devil in order to get what you need for your ward or for your district or a senator. Sometimes you have to make deals with people. Look what happens in the United States government, for example. Look what happens. You know, okay, let's say you want to build a base in your area because you want to bring jobs into your area. Well, guess what? Somebody else needs you to go along with them. So sometimes you got to make deals. And even on a local level, council people have to make deals with other council people in order to get things done. That's how politics works. So you can't say that you're an elected official and you're not a politician. You have to be. You have to be. Yeah, you're right, Steve. You have to be. So this is why we drink the Kool-Aid every election cycle. We drink the Kool-Aid. The person gets reelected. They drank the Kool-Aid with Joey Torres. That name I will mention. Drank the Kool-Aid. You know, he was out in Jackson, New Jersey as a purchasing agent, and he wasn't bothering nobody. Came back to Patterson. Made a bunch of promises, and look what happened. Taxes are through the ceiling right now, you know, and you're not getting anything that he offered, anything that he told you he would give it. Now, so I'm going to take a quick break right now, as I've been talking. We're going to talk more about this and talk about the politics making strange bedfellows and how politics actually works on any level. You gotta make deals with somebody in order to get what you need for your ward. But I'm gonna take a quick break and I'll come right back with more. I need some water. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome. Welcome back.
Welcome. Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show.
And on the web,
TheRonKellyShow.com.
All right, yes, indeed, we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And those of you who are watching on Facebook, there are commercials and things that are actually playing in the background. You just can't hear it because this show is not wired into Facebook, but you can see and hear what I'm saying. But now, all right, let's get back to what we were talking about now, because every year we go through the same thing. We vote people. See, we wonder why. And first of all, let me just say this. I'm not trying to indict anybody, okay? Just as I said earlier before in the program, that just about every person, elected official, including our assembly people, Sumter and Wimberley, have been on the Ron Kelly Show. Congressman Pasquale, Sheriff Burdick, just about anybody who's an elected official in the city, in Passaic County, has been on my radio show. So, again, my disclaimer, this is not meant to harm anybody or talk about anybody in particular, but this is what politics are all about. And people have to understand that, you know, that nobody can, you know, unless you have to fact check, as Lamont likes to say, fact check and go back and find out what that person did for you. You know, thank you, Bilal. Appreciate you. Bilal's been a supporter for years and years on the Ron Kelly Show. Yeah, I'm still at it, and hopefully, you know, me and Steve Harvey will be drinking tea together one day. Anyway, we go through this every year. I mean, every cycle, and we never look back to see who did what. You know, and I'm talking about politics in general. I'm not talking about just Passaic County. But I'm talking about politics in general. I don't want anybody to say, well, I'm not going on your show anymore because you pissed me off. But this is something that takes place every cycle. And we need to go back and look. Now, Hillary Clinton, you know, we know about the Trump tapes. It's not even, you know, everybody knows Trump's a dog. You know, we all know that. You know, sorry for you fans out there. There's a lot of folks who listen to the Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com who are Trump fans. And, you know, and I know you guys will be letting me have it sometime, but that's what you're supposed to do. I'm just glad you love me or hate me, but listen to me. I'm just glad you guys are out there. Thanks for the sticking with the show. Now, Hillary made speeches on Wall Street. Now, if somebody was going to pay me $600,000 for a speech that will last an hour and a half, I probably would say what they would want me to hear. What they want to hear. $600,000, those are some of the prices they said Hillary was paid. For $600,000, I mean, you're not, I mean, I don't want to make it seem like everybody has a price, because everybody does, but to a degree. But, you know, she made some speeches. Now they're saying that Hillary said that one of the problems with what her speech is that there was one part of a speech she made Goldman Sachs someplace on Wall Street in front of a bunch of hedge fund millionaires, was that you need to have every politician or every elected official has a private position and a public position. Now, I didn't find a problem with that, because that's probably true. You know, because when you especially in partisan politics, you're running as a Democrat, you're running as a Republican, you have to toe that party line. You got to toe that party line. Like, look what's happening with Trump, for example. People are toeing the party line. Plain and simple, they're toeing the line. They're you know, to folks who are repulsed by what Trump is saying. But because I'm a Republican, I'm going to toe the line. Even our own Governor Christie, who's going to be gone soon, hopefully, our own Governor Christie is toeing the party line. All the things that Trump has said, all the nastiness, all the, you know, talking about grabbing women by the private part, kissing on them because I'm a star and I can do it. That wasn't locker room talk. That's something that he actually did. Trump actually I mean, look at the Miss. He didn't buy the Miss Universe pageant because he was trying to help him out. He bought it because there was a whole 50, 60, however many women are in the Miss America, I think Miss Universe, one of those pageants he purchased the rights to. So he had a whole harem of women who are trying to win this crown. A whole harem. So that gave him a whole, you know, he had a harem of women that he could pick from. Because they're all scrambling. They're all trying to be Miss America and Miss Universe because they know once they get that crown, it could take them to other places. They may, some of them want to be actresses. Some of them want to be other things. They get that big check, $100,000, whatever it is, for winning the Miss America, Miss Universe. So he's got a whole bevy of beautiful women that he can grab their crotches, and they're not going to say anything because he's a rich man. Many of them are coming from poor backgrounds, even though they're gorgeous. A lot of them come from poor backgrounds, and they need him. Just we talk about the casting, the casting couch or whatever. When women go to sometimes when women go to when they go to try to get parts in movies and TV shows, stuff like that, and some of the things they go through. So this is something that Trump actually did. But now our Governor Christie and a lot of other ones are saying that it's all that what he's doing, that it was locker room talk. Now, I've been in a lot of locker rooms. I mean, and I know we do, men do sometimes exaggerate things. You know, men do exaggerate things. But this sounds like something that he actually did. So you have Christie and you have Rudy Giuliani, who it's just pitiful. Just a pitiful sight, Rudy Giuliani. You have some of these people who are backing Trump up because they're desperate. Rudy Giuliani is never going to get elected to anything ever again in his life. Neither is Christie. Christie is finished anywhere he goes. He couldn't get elected in nowhere. So Christie, he put his last dollar on Trump winning the election, which is certainly not going to happen now. The latest poll says Hillary Clinton is 11 points ahead. So that's over with. But you have to, you know, now Christie is probably doing it voluntarily, but, you know, Paul Ryan, who is the Speaker of the House, who is the leader of the Republican Party underneath Trump, because the Republican nominee is supposed to be the leader. But now Ryan is saying that he's not going to make excuses for Trump, but he's still got to toe that party line. And see, this is what happens in partisan politics, be it a Democrat or Republican, you have to toe that party line. So you have to make deals with the devil. Sometimes you have to stick with the people that you can't stand. And there's a lot of folks, Republicans, who some of them have had the courage to walk away from Trump, but a lot of them are still there. And see, so you have to toe that party line. So it's nearly impossible to be an elected official and say you're not a politician, because you're going to need somebody. The state legislature, for example, you have the assembly. You know, like I said, I have a lot of respect for Shavonda Sumter, for example. She's a friend of the show. She's been on the show many times. She's always been very gracious in coming on the program. Assemblywoman Sumter, 35th District. Assemblyman Wimberly as well has been on the program, a friend of the show. But everybody, especially if you're in a body, you need somebody. Now, I'm not sure what the ratio is in the assembly or the Senate, but you do need a majority. A majority is what gets the bill passed. So if you want to sponsor a bill, let's say you're an assembly person from Newark, Sheila Oliver, for example, and you want to get a bill passed, you want to pass a bill to bring something to Newark, you have to talk to other people in order to get what you want. So a lot of times, as I said earlier in the program, in the first segment, that we never go back and look and see what that person has done. Did they keep their promises? Did they do what they said they were going to do? Are the taxes lower, like they say? Are there more police rolling through my neighborhood, like they say? You know, how much development is taking place? You know, has crime gone down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Has that person kept their promise? We don't do that. We just vote for the same person over and over and over and over again. And I know there's a lot of elected officials. I know I'm going to hear it at some point about this show. You know, but I got to keep it real. I'm not an elected official, so I don't have to toe anybody's line. You know, now, again, I'm not talking about anybody in particular. This show is for the people. And people need to understand that you know, it's not about just getting out here and voting. It's not about that. You know, who are you voting for? Why are you voting for them? Are you voting for them because, you know, it's nice to have people in power? You know, I mean, yeah, I have lots of friends who are in high places. Plenty of them. Is it nice to have them? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But most of the friends I have in high places, I can't vote for because I don't live in that area anymore. But, you know, we vote for people for various reasons. Sometimes we vote for people for the wrong reason. You know, we vote for so-and-so because they can reappoint me. You know, vote for this person. Let's help that person because not because what they're doing for the community, but because of what they're doing for me. And a lot of times that's why we vote for people, because of what we can get out of them, not necessarily what they're doing for the community, but what they do for me. You know, and I know personally, I have supported candidates who, when I was looking out for my best interest, I didn't care what they did for the community. I was looking out for my best interest, what they can do for me. And see, this is what happens a lot of times when we vote for people. We vote for, you know, if they are able to do something for us, those are the ones that we support and we vote for. You know, not what they do for the community as a whole, but what they do for me. Anyway, I got about a couple of minutes left to the program. I'm going to switch it over to live stream because we have a much bigger audience over there than we do here on Facebook. And it's part of the contract. We have to switch over when it's possible, switch over to live stream. But now, you know, so what I'm trying to tell everybody is that, you know, we need to, you know, again, it's not just about getting out there and voting. It's about voting, you know, find who has done what since the last time they ran. Did they keep any of their promises? And I think that's important for us, for our folks. And you know, because you know, when you're talking about the elected officials, everybody is tied to somebody. There is no independent, you know, only independent office holders are the ones that don't hold office in this country, where there's no constitution, where they can do what they want, like the Philippines or North Korea or someplace like that, China, where they just do what they want, a communist country. Those people, those elected officials, and even when you have the Knesset, well, not the Knesset, my bad for the Jewish people, not the Knesset, but, you know, and in North Korea, for example, even the people who are elected officials there, if you can call them that, have obligations to others. So this is what the deal is. You know, this is what's going on there. So, you know, it's not just about getting out and voting. It's about voting for. And I know this is going to fall on deaf ears, because everybody's still going to go out and do whatever they want to do. But, and I'm not trying to change anybody from doing what they do, but this is the situation, you know, in public. And politicians, elected officials do have public and private positions on things. Because nobody can say that, and even as an individual, as a person, you know, you got things that you're going to say to other people, but you have your own thoughts. You know, you do have your own thoughts, which are private, and nobody can invade your private thoughts. You know. So this is what politics is all about. And nobody can say, who's an elected official, can say they're not a politician, because you are, because you have to be, because that's what it's about. All right. It's about 23 minutes before the hour. We're gonna move the show over to live stream. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today on the Ron Kelly Show, and all my people across the country who listen to the program. There's a lot of people, and you know, I appreciate that because, you know, when I first went on the air, I had no idea that that it would turn out the way it did. And people, you know, and doing radio is not easy. You know, when you're putting yourself out there, radio personalities do. You know, you're taking a big risk because there's a chance that people are not gonna like you, they're not gonna listen. You know, I really don't like to do Facebook because I'm always looking to see how many people are watching the program. You know, on some media situations, you're not able to see who's watching the program, which I would prefer because, you know, when you're doing Facebook Live, it shows you how many people are looking. You know, yeah, there's a fair amount of people who are looking at the show, but I don't even want to know that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to know who's looking. You know, it's better for me. But anyway, it's about 2 minutes left, so I'm going to take my last break, and we're going to close out the show here on Facebook, and we're going to reboot it on live stream. So thank everybody for listening to the show. Goes on to 8 o'clock. If you want to continue to listen to the show, you can check it out on you can check the show out on blogtalkradio.com, and we'll see, you know, because I'm not 100% sure we're going to switch the show over because I'm getting somebody's talking in my ear right now, but we may just come back to Facebook. If you want to listen to the program though, you can listen at blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. That's blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. All right, so we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
There was a need in talk radio, and one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is marching at society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can know what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right. Yes, indeed. It's the Ron Kelly Show. We're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. I've been told not to move the program. I'm going to keep it here for the next 19 minutes, and then we're going to break out of here. But anyway, thanks for listening. Everybody who's on, who's listening, blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. That's blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. Got some big things coming up. I don't want to jinx it right now, but they are coming, and great things here, and it's finally coming to fruition here. The Ron Kelly Show has been on a while, and you know, it's really hard to try to see your way to your dream when you have to work. You know what I'm saying? Work definitely does get in the way, but you know, if you want to do something, you keep doing it, you keep going. Now, I look pretty good on Facebook. Anyway, all right, thanks everybody who watches the show and who's listening to the show right now on blogtalkradio.com. And no, I don't sniff drugs or anything. I just wanted to wipe my, you know, I just do that sometimes. I'm not doing it like Trump. You didn't notice Trump kept breathing and everybody was saying he's sniffing. As a matter of fact, I posted a picture on LinkedIn And if you don't, if you haven't been on LinkedIn, do try it. LinkedIn, you know, don't limit yourself to Facebook. Now, Facebook is cool and all, but you know, I myself personally prefer to peruse some of the other social media platforms. And I just finally got over 100 followers on Twitter. You know, it's hard to get followers on Twitter. Let me tell you, it's extremely hard. So there's millions of people who don't have no followers at all on Twitter. You know, so I'm really lucky to have, you know, more than 100 people. And I've been on Twitter for a while, but I've just really started. I've only tweeted like 500 times or so, and there's 104 followers on Twitter, which is an accomplishment because it's hard to get followers on Twitter because the people don't know you. See, on Facebook, you can get a zillion likes because people who know you. You can post something and 200 people will like you. Some of the politicians that post, and because people know them, like 300 or 400 people will say, yeah, I like you, you know. But on Twitter, nobody knows you. You know, most of the, I don't know anybody on Twitter personally. And it's a lot harder to get listeners. I mean, it's hard, a lot harder to get followers on Twitter. But anyway, Lamont Gates, you know, the unflappable one, I like to call him, says that he doesn't think that any official is serious. They tend to use things like the Board of Education is only a stepping stone to higher position. You know, and that's true, Lamont. If I can, I guess people can see your name there, so I guess it's okay. But that is definitely true that there are some people who have tried. Now, there's been some failures, but there are some people who have tried to use the Board of Education as a stepping stone. And see, this is the other thing, too, about politics. I mean, who's really being sincere? Who really wants to help? You know, because, okay, thanks, Lamont. who wants to help? You know, because in a lot of these cases, people are just running for it's just social media. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be adored. Everybody wants to be famous. Just so you have so many people doing radio shows that don't know anything about radio. You know, because it's not just about going on the radio and just running your mouth. You know, you got to have something to say. You know, like when I do my show, I watch a lot of news. It takes a lot of show prep, a lot of studying, a lot of research, a lot of, you know, unless you just cater into an audience who just really low information order, like I think Rush Limbaugh likes to say, unless you just relate to people who don't really, you know, because, you know, unless you're trying to relate to people who don't, I don't want to say people who are low education or anything like that, but it depends what kind of audience you're trying to approach. See, my audience is mostly a political audience, and lots of white people listen to the Ron Kelly Show, you know, because, and they thank me because they don't want the Hate the White Man show, you know, like a lot of these shows are, like, you know, blame everybody and hate this one and that. No, this show is not about that. And I have got a couple of emails here and there of people who, yeah, you're right, Shani. You're right. Reality show watchers, right? And there's a lot of folks who a handful of people. I mean, I'm not millions of people, but a handful of people have written to me and said, "Look, thank you for presentation because we're not hearing hatred, we're not hearing blame game, and it's helping them to understand the Black experience, you know, in America." Now, I'm a brother through and through. Don't get me wrong. Now, this is real. This ain't no makeup. You know what I'm saying? This is real deal all the way through. My heart, I love my people, but I just think there's a better way to express ourselves rather than, you know, because let me tell you now. The government, see, look, there's so many people, so many ethnic groups who have abandoned the government, who have given up on getting things from the government because they're not going to give them to you. So other ethnic groups, we got to stop with that. One of the most outrageous, nonsensical things I've ever heard was that people get money to come here, like immigrants get. I mean, give me a break. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. You know, I tweeted, not tweeted because people on Twitter don't associate. They don't know anything about Patterson. But I posted on Facebook the other day about the Second Ward. Now, I was in the Second Ward. I was just driving through it because I still work in Patterson, even though I don't live in Patterson anymore. I live in Montclair now. And I was driving through, and I was just using Patterson as an example, because most of you who are watching right now can identify with Patterson. I'm driving through, and I'm going down Main Street in the Second Ward. I think that's Andre Sayers Ward. And I'm like, wow, look at all the buildings, the stores, and you're not talking about renovate. I'm talking about buildings where they just built, like, a lot of those places where they were empty lots, now there's buildings, brand new buildings. In the Second Ward, right, there's buildings in the Second Ward. Oh, boy, here comes Ron. Here comes Ron. Ron, who you know who. Because he was the person I was had of having it out with about this. But anyway, you know, you look at the Second Ward, right, for those of you who are watching the program who are in the Patterson experience, and there's so many new buildings there, and there's so much business going on there. And I'm like, wow, you know, because I don't live in Patterson anymore. So, you know, and most of the time, where I work at is right next to the highway. So it's just, boom, and I'm out. And I lived here. I love Patterson. Don't get me wrong. I lived here for 13 years. But there's a lot going on there. And I'm like, wow, they came into the, you know, they made the neighborhood their own, and then they built it up. They built it up. And there's so much, the Main Street, Main Street and the Second Ward looks better than the Main Street and the First Ward. It looks better. It looks better. Get mad at me if you want to. Now, and the people who, the ethnic group who came into that group, it was Arabic people, they came into that neighborhood and they made it better. You see, but black folks, though, now, we have, and I love my people, don't get me wrong, but somebody got to start telling the truth about what's going on in the black community. We got to stop with the CIA's bringing coke in. We got to stop with the FBI's bringing guns in. We got to stop with all of that. We got to stop with that. Even if it is true, we have to stop with that, because it just gives everybody it gives a certain element of our community, of our society, an opportunity to just sit back and not do nothing. Just make excuses. We got to stop with that. You know, we got to take the bull by the horn. We got a problem in our community. We got a problem. And it's time for us to start taking a good hard look at that. Now, I'm not the guru or the soothsayer, and I'm not the one who's going to solve all our problems. But we need to take a look at what's going on in our community. People are getting shot up. Look, why should I be afraid to go through the neighborhood where my people live? Why should I be afraid? A lot of my convertible, I don't have it anymore. I traded it in. But when I would go through the hood, I put the top up. When I'm in other neighborhoods, where I live at Montclair, Verona, you know, I put the top down because I can ride through Montclair, Verona, Cedar Grove, if the cops are not chasing me, in West Essex, West Orange, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I can drive through those neighborhoods, and I ain't got to worry about nobody jumping in the car and putting a gun to my head. I ain't got to worry about that. Where I live right now, I lived here for 7 years. Nobody never broke my window. I left my car window open. I left my car doors open, not on purpose now. And nobody has stolen anything. You know, I don't worry about coming home and my house being empty. I ain't got to worry about that around here. You know, why is that? Why do I have to live in a white neighborhood to feel safe? Or on the east side of Patterson where, you know, where there are, is it really about, you know, education? Is it really about that? Like the people who are not educated are more violent and more susceptible to the ills of society than people who are educated? I mean, is it really about that? Is it really about that? Because I mean, just, you know, in some, I mean, I can't say on the air what the things that I, the, my practices, I can't say that. But, you know, I do certain things before I go into certain areas. Why, and why is it that I have to make provisions to go in my own area where my people are? Shouldn't I feel safe when I go to an area that's primarily black? Shouldn't I feel safe because these are my people? No, I don't. I feel like I'm just as acceptable as anybody else to be violated or even killed. So all this that we talking about, you know, these old wives' tales, and we blame it each other. There's a Chinese restaurant on every corner for a reason, because somebody's going in there and buying their food. That's why the restaurants are there. It's not, I mean, they put it there like, hey, y'all stupid enough to, I don't want to say stupid, apologize for that. Y'all, you know, we, as long as we got y'all keep coming in our stores, we got to keep putting the stores there. And this is what's been going on. So we cry about the black, you know, oh, the Chinese got a store in every corner. Yeah, maybe if you wasn't going there 2 and 3 times a day, maybe they wouldn't have a store there. They put the state, it's, you know, the supply and demand. You know, and you don't even see that enough of this. Yeah, okay, there are, I mean, watch my time. There are, okay, I got about 6 minutes. There are things that are stopping us from getting where we need to go. Okay, we know that. There are red lines and situations that are stopping us where we need to go. But I had somebody on it, like Brother Shadi Thomas. I'll say his name. He's running a business. He's been running a business for a long time. Construction business. Holler at him on Facebook if you need him. He's been running his business for a long time. So it's not impossible for us to do things. See, but when you go to the banks and whatever, you got to have a business plan. See, a lot of us don't have a business plan. You got to have a business plan before you for these people. But yeah, there's going to be situations where they just, where you black and they just don't like you. Yeah, that's going to be, but not every bank is going to be that way. And if you got a solid enough business plan where they think they're going to get their money back, they just might give it to you. But you got to try. You can't just sit back and say, oh, the white man this and the white man that. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, there is situations with the white man this and the white man that. But are you going to just let that rule you? So we need to get it together, you know. We and like I said, I'm not the know-all, the soothsayer, and I'm not the one who's going to get out here and change the world. But we do have to realize that we can't just sit back and just play the blame game and blame everybody for our problems. We can't, you know, people on the corner, I mean, but they're all across the street. Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't make it obvious, but I don't let them see me doing it. But, you know, I make it seem kind of incidental. I don't want people to think that I'm crossing the street because of them. But do I? Yeah, I do. Are there certain provisions I take when I'm in my neighborhood? Well, not here in Montclair, but in other neighborhoods, Irvington, East Orange, Newark. Yes, I do. Why? Why do I have to do that? So we need to take a look at our neighborhoods. I mean, you know, I'm only one person. And what I say may not change anybody. You know, but we have to be honest with ourselves about what's going on in the black community. Yeah, the schools are bad. You know, but things are bad because, you know, I think for all intents and purposes, we allow these things to be bad. Because we vote the same people in every year. Every time they run, you vote in the same people. The last person said 10 years ago, they're going to fix the schools. And they still in office, still haven't done nothing. Because, for example, in Jersey City, Jersey City might be switched back to local control. Patterson, Newark, these school districts, for example, are state controlled. So if somebody tells you they're going to fix the schools, that's a lie. If somebody tells you they're going to do something with the school system, that's a lie. You can't do nothing. The school board can't even do nothing with the school system in a state-controlled district. The school board is just there. But they don't, you know, the only control they have is what the state gives them, which right now is nothing. they might give him control of the janitorial services or whatever. But as far as purse strings, the state is doing that. So if somebody's running for office, if somebody's running for Board of Education, for example, and they're telling you that they're going to, it's a lie. Because they're not going to do it. So we need to, one thing about politics, and that's what I meant to talk about. I didn't mean to veer off into a tangent. But when we talk about politics, we have to talk about, and we have to understand what all of this stuff is about. You know, it ain't just about vote for me and I'll set you free, like it says in the Ball of Confusion song, Temptation. No, we have to understand how politics work. We have to understand what we have to hold people who are running for office responsible. We have to hold them accountable. It's not just about voting for who you know, voting because some of you like them, or voting because what they can do for you as an individual, which I've done myself. But like I said, I don't know any politicians, any political people in Montclair, in this area, Essex County. So I'm out of that arena for right now. But you gotta vote your conscience and look at the track record. I got about 90 seconds left. Look at the track record of the person who you voted for the last time. Did they do anything that they said they was gonna do? Did they say you keep voting for the same people? Right. Then there's a lot of more ego trips. There's some politicians who never met a photo op they didn't like, and y'all know who I'm talking about. So, anyway, y'all, I got about 60 seconds left, right? So, you know, we got to do this show, and we got to be doing the Ron Kelly Show, and it's going to be, like, intense from now on. It's not going to be, you know, we got to be talking about real stuff, and politics is something that's real. We got to be approaching a lot of different subjects. You know, we're taking this program up to another level because that's where it needs to be going. So, you know, I thank y'all for riding with me. And, you know, check me out again tomorrow, 7 o'clock, for another edition of the award-winning Ron Kelly Show. Don't forget, you know, vote, you know, check that track record. Who you voted for the last time? What have they done since then? Are you going to vote for them again? You going to give them your vote again? You know, it ain't about just voting. It's about voting the right way. All right. Thank you, Lamont Gates. Thank you, Shadi, Ron Hicks, all y'all who participated in the program tonight. We'll see you again back here tomorrow. Until then, stay safe, everybody.